for your ministry this evening and the ministry that the Lord has blessed you with. Is that on okay, Mark?
Yeah.
Everybody, can you hear that okay? Yeah. It might go off because I get excited and start shouting. It'll jump out of my pocket. Let's just pray for God's word before we begin. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ this evening, what an incredible time this is to celebrate your faithfulness, Lord God. To hear how great is our God. Lord, thank you that yours is the name above all names. And we humble ourselves before you tonight, and we humble ourselves before your word tonight. And we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word, and open our ears to hear what it is, Lord God, that you're saying to us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're celebrating going into the 20 years of Shiloh Christian Fellowship. And Jack Gallagher has come in, by the way. He missed it. He came in late. So there will be a stoning after the service. We were saying that, you know, I was saying, I think it's 20 years next year. And then, is it? And then I said, well, I'm blaming Jack Gallagher because he was a teacher in Grantia, and Grantia didn't teach me how to count properly. Anyway, all the joking aside, we're celebrating going into 20 years of Shiloh Christian Fellowship. And it really is hard to believe it's that long since a small group of us met together in Hamilton House. And it wasn't even Hamilton House, it was the Boggan part of the gymnasium that we used to meet in. And this small group of us, with absolutely nowhere to fellowship, we thought that maybe, you know, God would farm us out to different churches. And I think that was my hope at the time. I was more concerned, where's these people going to go? We had left another church. I don't want to get into it, but silly thing. But we had left another church, and other people then came and says, well, we're leaving too. And I thought, well, we have a responsibility to make sure that these people, you know, come under the word of God. And so we'll meet together until hopefully God farms them out to the different churches around the town and whatever else. But that actually wasn't God's plan. He had other plans. In fact, there's only three founder members of Shiloh. Mark, you want to turn it down a bit and then try again? There's only three founder members of Shiloh who are still worshipping here. And that's myself and Rita and Gary. Rita and Gary, stand up a second so people can see how old you are. Personally, I want to thank Rita and Gary for their commitment and their faithfulness to the Lord here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. And I really do thank you for that. And I'm delighted tonight that Steph Rainey is here as well. Steph, stand up at the back there so that people can see it. Steph is here. Unfortunately, Dave and the children, they weren't able to come along, but Steph has come along. And I really wanted just to emphasize the fact that Steph and Dave played a key role in the formation and the development of Shiloh. Dave was in leadership here for 17 years, and Steph led the worship and the children's work as well. And again, I just thank them for that. Also, Keith and Ruth Mooney, they couldn't be here. I got a text message this afternoon saying the whole family have been hit with sickness and they can't make it here. But they were integral in their ministries and their responsibilities also. Keith was only saved 4 years when he was duped into, when he was appointed to leadership and continued in that role for 15 years. And Ruth then took on the mantle of Sunday school coordinator and also did that brilliantly. And so on behalf of Shiloh Christian Fellowship, I want to thank Dave and Steph and Keith and Ruth for your commitment, your service, and your faithfulness to the Lord. And I hope and pray that the plans that God has for you will bear much fruit for His glory. You know, over the years, we've seen many people come and go. Do you remember we even had people who left because they said I sang like a loyalist? It must have been something to do. What was it? The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. That was. I did nothing of the sort. But they left anyway. I sang like a loud. We had a whole lot of people leaving. But I don't know if you've noticed, if you check under your seats, you'll not find any chains there. Because we're not a cult. People can come and go as they please. And over the years, we've seen many people come and go, some to what I call grasslands meaner, while others to pastures greener. But I also tonight want to acknowledge those from among us who have actually gone to be with the Lord. I get jealous of them. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy my life and I want to live as long as God will allow me to live to tell people about Jesus. But I get jealous of people who have died and gone to be with the Lord because they've already seen Him face to face. And that's what I look forward to. If I could get a gravestone that says that, it will say, when the eye at last beholds what the heart has loved so long. I look forward to that. But those people, for a small fellowship, we've seen quite a number of people transition from this life into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I just wonder, you know, tonight, if they're among that great cloud of witnesses spoken of in Hebrews, then I hope that they're enjoying this celebration with us. And finally, just before I speak from God's word, I would like to thank all of our current Shilohites, as we call them, all of the people who are currently here in Shiloh, for your continued support, your service to the Lord. And also thanks to all of our visitors, our Facebook friends, and our podcast listeners. Before I turn to the word, I just also to say tonight, thank you to everybody who has made this so special. And thank you to all of the people who have contributed to the celebration tonight with the food. There's an incredible cake here. And please, if you haven't taken one of our key rings that has been provided, please take one of those as well. But thank you to Sandra. Thank you to everyone who has helped with this. Let's turn now to God's word as we look at Psalm 133. Now, I have to make this clear. I said to the Lord, you seriously can't expect me to speak on this passage tonight. This is a celebration, Lord. These people are going to be leaving here feeling condemned. But this was the passage that I believe I was given to speak on. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I don't know if you're aware of this, but quite a number of scholars suggest that King David wrote this song when he witnessed the tribes of Israel uniting to make him king. Before he became king, the nation was completely split. And when he saw them eventually coming together, uniting to make him king, he remembered this when later he wrote Psalm 133. Prior to that, as I said, there was disunity. There was division in the nation, and many were following after false gods. Disunity and division can lead to waywardness, to wrong decisions, which some will have eternal consequences if you go down that road. Those wrong decisions, that division and that disunity can have eternal consequences for some. Disunity and division are dangerous in every society. Look at our world, for example. With all of its wars, its killings, killing millions and millions of people, maiming millions and millions of people, disunity and division play their part in all of these. Anywhere where you see a war, anywhere where there's conflict, it started with disunity and division. Look at our own nation of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. It boasts of democracy, but is divided and directionless as a result of Brexit. One pundit recently said, "The United Kingdom has never been so divided." The United Kingdom has never been so divided. We go to the polls in December.
hopefully to reconfirm the democratic wishes of the people. You may have a different view, but our nation, ladies and gentlemen, our nation is disunited, and division is spreading through every city, town, village, and home. Think for a moment about Northern Ireland. Take our own country as another example. Considered at one time to be one of the last bastions of God's word, our country, ladies and gentlemen, is disunited. We're divided on many fronts: religiously, culturally, socially, racially, politically, and the disunity and the division has led to ungodly laws being imposed upon us, which will carry a spiritual consequence. We cannot expect that if we reject God and His ways, that He's not going to lift His hand of protection from off us. Disunity and division permeate our polarized communities down into households and into families, and leads people to making wrong decisions and all kinds of waywardness in their lives. Divorce, alcohol and other dependency, sexual, physical, mental, emotional abuse, neglect, self-harming, eating disorders, suicide, suicidal tendencies, and all manner of gender and other deviancies all stem from disunity and from division even within yourself. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And is it any wonder that you need to know the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only sure foundation upon which you can build your house. Disunity and division always come with a negative consequence. The psalmist, we think, you know, because he lived way, way, way back, the psalmist lived in a society similar to ours. Even his son, the wisest man that ever lived, said, "There is nothing new under the sun." What's happening in our day happened in David's day. Is it any wonder that when he got a glimpse of unity among the brethren, that he could write the song and the words, how good and how pleasant it is when people dwell together in unity. He uses for us and for the Jewish people, he uses two illustrations that particularly the Jews would understand. He says to them, unity among the brethren is like the precious oil that is used to anoint the high priest. Well, the high priest, he was the ambassador, the mediator between people and God. And by his appointed intervention, the Jewish people could be at peace with God. When they saw the high priest being anointed, and they could smell the fragrance of that oil filling the temple, that as they breathed it in, reminded them that this was the mediator who would bring peace with God for them through his mediation. The psalmist says, it is like the Jew, speaking of unity, it is like the dew of Mount Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. Some rabbi scholars, and I think this is very interesting, some rabbi scholars argue that the Mount Hermon mentioned in this psalm is actually Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is where God give the law, his word to Moses. And it was here that God commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Those who would obey the law of God would be blessed with life forevermore. Now let me make this clear tonight for everyone here, everyone watching on Facebook, everyone listening to our podcast. It is not unity that commands God's blessing. We see all types of unity in our world and in societies, some good and some bad. But unity alone does not command God's blessing. We see the spirit of unity at work in multi or interfaith ecumenical gatherings, but these do not command God's blessing because they have strayed from the Word of God. It is only those united by the Spirit of God in the pursuit of trusting and obeying Jesus that commands God's blessing. Hear that again. It is only those who are united by the Spirit of God in the pursuit of trusting and obeying Jesus that command God's blessing. God's blessing, life forevermore, is with those who trust in Jesus to save them, who obey Him and walk in His ways. These are the brethren whom the psalmist speaks of. Their unity in the Spirit commands God's blessing. When those who trust and obey Jesus come together to worship Him, the Lord can't do anything else but bless them, and they have life forevermore. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But you know something? Even Christians aren't exempt from disunity and division. But with the Holy Spirit's help, we must guard against these, as they are always going to have a negative consequence. Disunity and division causes churches to split, causes Christians to stray from the truth of God's word, and can lead to a waywardness and wrong decisions, and worst of all, to a divided heart. Christian, is your heart loyal to Jesus tonight? Hear it again. Disunity in your own life, in your own mind, in your own spirit. Disunity and division causes churches to split. It causes Christians to stray from the truth of God's word and can lead to a waywardness and wrong decisions, and worst of all, to a divided heart. Let me ask you again, is your heart loyal to Jesus tonight? Do you live in the unity of the Spirit with the Lord's people as you seek to serve and obey Him? Because you have been born again, you have the Lord's blessing, life forevermore. But disunity and division in your heart can rob you of the joy of walking in His blessing. I would say to you tonight, if you're questioning about your heart before God, Christian, if you're questioning if your heart is loyal to Jesus tonight, ask the Lord to give you a loyal, undivided heart toward Him and His people. You know, over the years, Shiloh has experienced our fair share of disunity and division. But the Lord, who is faithful, has searched us out and helped us quickly to get right with Him. And it is tonight that we celebrate the Lord's faithfulness to us. In spite of all of our flaws, in spite of all of our imperfections, in spite of all of our sinfulness, we celebrate the Lord's faithfulness to us. Why? Because I believe there is a unity in the Spirit here in this wee fellowship, whereby Shiloh seeks to glorify Jesus, to obey Him, and to walk in His ways. This fellowship holds fast to the truth of God's word, no matter who is offended by it. We do not care if you are offended by the Word of God. The Word of God is meant to offend you tonight? Would you rather go into hell offended or listen to the offense of God's word as it speaks to you? Take it on board, listen to it, and do what it says so that you can know salvation, so that you can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We don't care if you're offended. We're happy to pray for you if you're offended, but even in our prayers, you'll probably leave even more offended, because we will tell you the truth, because we believe it is the truth that sets people free. And so tonight, it is my prayer and the prayer of this fellowship, for whatever length of time the Lord allows us to continue, we aim to continue to obey and serve the Lord Jesus, so that others might come to know him and enjoy his blessing of life forevermore. And that leads me to the questions, and I'm almost finished. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you received his blessing, life forevermore? Let me tell you tonight, the Lord loves you. He has demonstrated his love for you in that he came into this world to die in your place, to rescue you so that you might have life forevermore. But maybe tonight your heart is divided about Jesus. Maybe your heart is divided about heaven and about hell, or about where you will spend eternity. Well, let me make clear what the Word of God says, and I make no apology for it. You have sinned against a holy God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that includes you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You must, for the sake of your soul's salvation, you must confess your sin. That means agree with God that you are a sinner. It means tell him, not me, tell God, yes, Lord, you're right. I have lived my life my way. I have made my own choices. I have made my own decisions. I have gone down the wrong way. I have lived a life of waywardness away and transgressed from the paths of God. Tell God that, admit it to God, and then say, Lord, I turn around from that life and I turn to you and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, your Son, who has died for me. I put my trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save me. Unless you do this, and I'm speaking here to the unbeliever, unless you do this, unless you confess your sin, unless you repent of your sin, unless you trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save you, you will die in your sin and you will be cast from God's presence forever. And the Bible calls that hell. That is what the Word of God says. But I remind you tonight, there is hope. And I remind you tonight that also in the Psalms it says, there is forgiveness with God for you. And if you want that forgiveness tonight, you just simply got to ask for it. You just simply got to acknowledge God's right, you're a sinner. Ask for forgiveness and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Our celebration tonight is to the glory of God, who loves us and sent his Son Jesus to die for us. And with one heart and mind, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we at Shiloh commit tonight to continue to glorify Jesus, to obey him, to walk in his ways, and to guard against disunity and division, so that we might tell others there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you put your hand into the hand of Jesus tonight so that you might be saved? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight in the celebration of your faithfulness, we thank you for Jesus, your Son. We thank you for the truth of your word about this unity, Lord God, that the psalmist speaks of. And Lord, he's not talking about people just coming together. He's talking about those who come together in a pursuit of you, Lord God, in seeking to serve you and to walk in your ways. You say, O God, that unity commands a blessing, life forevermore. And for those of us, Lord God, who have found that life in Jesus, we thank you. Lord, may tonight anyone in this place who doesn't know Jesus, may the Spirit of God move upon them right now and bring them, please, to that place where they will put their trust in Jesus to save them, so that they too might have life forevermore, so that they may be brought in the unity of the Spirit into the body of Christ, where they shall be forever with the Lord, secure in his love. Lord, we thank you tonight for this celebration. Again, thank you for Tommy and Thomas, Lord, and his friends and all who have gathered in this place. We just want to say, Lord, you are an amazing God, a loving God, and it's our delight to know you and to worship you. May your power be poured out in this place right now. Poured out, Lord God, in the people watching on Facebook. Poured out, Lord, on those listening to the podcast. And may souls be saved. And may there be great rejoicing in heaven over sinners that repent. Father, we thank you tonight again. And as we finish with this song of celebration, may you, Lord God, delight in us and rejoice over us with singing, as we praise you with all of our might for your faithfulness, O God. Amen.
Amen.